Mark 16:14-20. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on people who are ill and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. And the key verse that we've been looking at over the last couple of weeks is verse 17. "And these signs will accompany those who believe." And particularly last week and particularly this week, we'll start thinking about the blessing of God, the favour of God that we know upon our lives. And you might say to me, "Ian, whatever has got the blessing of God, the favour of God, got to do with the subject of signs and wonders and going out and ministering to people and seeing them changed by the power of God? Whatever is blessing, God's blessing upon our lives, got to do with that?" Well, it's got to do with freely you have received, freely give. Amen. And unless we know what we have received, we don't know what we can give. Unless we know the blessing that we have received, we cannot be a blessing to other people. We have a problem appreciating everything that God has for us. We have a problem appreciating that God would even use me to pray for somebody, to lead them to salvation, to pray for them and minister to them and give them words of wisdom that would set them free from the bondages that they've been held to for so many years. That even me could be used as an instrument that would help someone become the person of God that God wants them to be. Somehow we've got a misconnect. And so the idea of these messages are to help us to appreciate and understand that everything that we have because we believe. Everything that, you know, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, the blessings that overflow, that should overflow in our lives because we know Jesus. And those blessings are not for selfishness reason, but so that those blessings can overflow from us and through us to the glory of his name. So last week we were looking at the account of Balak and Balaam. We learned that you cannot curse someone who is blessed by God. No one has the authority to speak something over us that takes life out of us and prevents us from receiving the blessing of God. Blessing is more powerful than any curse. Now, perhaps we need to define more carefully what a blessing is, because we were talking about blessings last week, and the way that we use blessing in the English language perhaps is not technically accurate. Because when we're talking about the blessing of God, we are talking about the spoken favour of God over our lives. His divine favour. That is the blessing. Now often we might say, "Well, my car is a blessing." Well, in English we use that, but that is a manifestation of the blessing. My car could be stolen. Somebody could crash into it. I could lose it. I could lose my car, but I can't lose God's blessing upon my life. So my car is a manifestation of God's blessing. That can be lost. If it's lost, by divine favour, I'll get another one. But a blessing, in its technicality, in its sort of purest definition, a blessing is God's spoken favour over our lives. Now, because we use the word blessing as, well, my son is a blessing, my wife is a blessing, my car is a blessing, you will find me using the term blessing interchangeably. You know, so the way that we use our English language, it is inevitable tonight in my sermon that I will use the word technically incorrect, but I've just put that rider at the front so that you really understand what I'm talking about. One of the reasons perhaps we don't experience the blessings of God in our life as much as we do is because we have had this religious thinking that has been preached from the pulpit in quite a number of churches, and probably you'll probably find the majority of churches preach it today, is that it's virtuous to be poor. It's virtuous to have problems in your life. It's virtuous to be sick. It's virtuous to have disasters happen in your life, because that's the only way that you'll get to know God. I'm glad, says some people, that they're having a disaster in their life, because only by suffering can we really learn to trust Him. Now, it's true that when we're going through disasters and when we're ill and poorly, that we do tend to lean upon God more heavily. But that's not God's best for our lives. I believe that God wants us to learn from His Word. We learn what is wrong from determining that which is right. We don't learn that which is right by discovering that which is wrong. It's a bit like the man who goes to the garage and says, "I've burnt my clutch out," and he has to have a new clutch, and the garage owner says, "That's going to be £300 to repair your clutch and another £200 to repair the water pump, because we always replace the water pump when we're doing this." And he's got a big bill on his hands. And he says, "Well, why?" He says, I'll keep having my clutch replaced. Why is it?" And he says, "Well, how do you drive?" He says, "Well, I always drive with my foot on the clutch when I'm driving." "Well, there you are. That's why your clutch is wearing out." And so he comes home from the garage. He says, "Praise the Lord," to his wife. He says, I'm glad that my clutch keeps burning out, because now I've learned not to put my foot on the accelerator." Now, he learned from his mistakes. But if he had learned from his driving instructor, he would have saved all the money in the first place. You see, the difference is that God wants the best for us. He wants us to learn from His Word, not from disasters. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. It's true that we do learn from the University of Hard Knocks, but there is a better way that God wants us to learn. Now, why did I get to saying all of that? It's because sometimes people say, "God wants me to be in this suffering state." God doesn't want you to suffer. Jesus suffered so that you didn't have to suffer. The only way that the scripture tells us to suffer is to identify with Christ's persecution when they rejected his message. I'm straying off my notes. Let's move on. Okay. So we might miss out on God's best for our lives because we think that being miserable makes us more like Jesus. Or we may just be ignorant of what God's blessing looks like. So why are we not living in a life abundant of abundant blessing? I think number one is that we think that we don't deserve it. Number two, we're ignorant of what the blessing looks like. We've fallen into the trap of the world and what the world says. So here we are, Deuteronomy 28:1-2. Here's a blessing that God gives over the people. "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you up high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God." And then up to verse 12, you've got all the blessings that follow. And from 13 to 68, I believe, you've got all the curses if you don't follow. So we read this and say, "Oh, there's some blessings here." But immediately we disqualify ourselves, because we say, if we fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give to you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And you think to yourself, well, I don't meet that standard. And typically the believer would say, well, if I'm going to receive any of God's blessing, then I've got to try harder. I've got to do more Bible reading. I've got to do more prayer. I've got to behave myself more. I've got to carefully follow his commands. If I do that a little bit more, well, then God will bless me a little bit more. But actually, when you look at it, it says, if you fully obey. When was the last time any of you fully obeyed God's laws? None of you are putting your hand up, because all fall short of the glory of God. So you say to yourself, well, they are then, Ian, all the blessings that are going to be mentioned in Deuteronomy 8, 28, don't apply to me because I am not good enough. But what we've got to appreciate now is that all the blessings are mine because of Christ Jesus. So we should read it something like this. All these blessings are mine in Christ Jesus because Jesus fully obeyed the commands. And because he did, and because I have faith in him, all of these blessings are coming upon me. All of the curses that are written here are turned into blessings. I'm not under that curse, so I receive the opposite. Want a scripture for that? Galatians 3. Here it is. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus by faith. So the blessings that God pronounced over Abraham and all his descendants, guess what? They are ours in Christ Jesus, through faith in him. What have we got to do? We've got to believe. And I think, so first of all, I've hopefully underlined the fact that these blessings are not dependent upon what you can do, but upon what Christ has already done. We keep coming back to that, don't we? And it keeps underlining that, hopefully you're getting this, that everything that God has for you, everything that God had wanted for the Old Testament generation, yes, is now yes and amen in Christ Jesus, not because of anything that you've done, not because you're clever, not because you've behaved yourself, not because you've read the Bible upside down and back to front and memorized it from cover to cover. It's because you have faith in Jesus. So let's look at these blessings, because these blessings that were spoken over the community are ours in Christ Jesus. And we might comment upon them along the way. We might raise our eyebrows and we might say, well, I'm not so sure about that. But think about it a little bit more and ask yourself the question, why not? So, here it comes. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in 7. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his people, as promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him. Then all the nations of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Let's go for it, shall we? Let's look at these ones here. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Wherever you are, wherever you live, wherever you minister, whether it's in the town or whether it's in the country, you will be blessed. You will know God's favour. Interesting, when we look at, you remember the story of when Abraham and Lot separated? Was looking at a TV program with the kids last night, and Abraham and Lot separated, and it's nothing like on the TV program what it says in the scripture, but this is what is in the scripture. And Abraham and Lot are falling out because of the pasture, and they agree to separate. And Abraham says, it's not good that we're arguing, so Lot, you choose the land which you want. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you want to go to the right, you go to the left. Abraham, as the senior man, as the man who was the senior person in the community, didn't say, Lot, you go over here and you take the rotten pastures. He gave Lot the opportunity to choose which pasture he wanted to go to. Why? Because he was confident wherever he went, God's favour was upon him. Lot chose the green pastures. Abraham was happy to choose the more desert land, because he knew that wherever he went, God would bless him. God's favour was upon him. Now, where is the application for us here as a church? Because sometimes people might say to me, when I say that I pastor a church in a small village, they say, oh, it's difficult in small villages. The people are very tight-knit, and it's difficult to get the word in. Oh, you might go, it's interesting, because wherever you go, wherever you say you're from, whether you say that when I was in the Huddersfield, and I said that I was a pastor at a church in Huddersfield, a big city in West Yorkshire, they'd say, ooh, it's hard in the towns, lots of immigrants, difficult. You know, when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stood up to the crowd and proclaim the gospel, he didn't say, oh, it's hard in Jerusalem. All these religious folks, they persecute the people who believe. They're pagans. Oh, it's a city that's at war with the Romans. Oh, it's difficult. He stood up in the power of the Holy Spirit and proclaimed Jesus as Lord. And you know what? This is one way that we can curse ourselves by saying, oh, it's difficult in the small villages. Oh, it's not. Wherever we go, whether we're in the town or in the city, God blesses us. Wherever your business is, wherever your school is, you will find divine favour in there, because wherever you're in, whether you're in the city or whether you're in the field, you will know God's favour upon you. It's only when we trust in our own resources and we've believed the lie of the enemy that it's hard. We are blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Let's agree in Jesus' name that in Honley we are blessed. It's not difficult. We have God's divine favour. He helps us to minister to people. He helps us to tell other people about Jesus. These people are no more harder or more difficult than anywhere else. In fact, we should find it easier, because we have God's favour upon our lives, and we've prayed about it, and we believe that they're going to hear and respond as we tell them. Anyway, move on. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herd, the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough, will be blessed. The fruit of your womb. Your children will know divine favour. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I meet people in my ministry, don't try to think too hard who I'm talking about, but have got no one good thing to say about their children. They call them trouble, and they call them this and that, and they're no good thing, and they can't do anything, and they're always late, and they don't succeed, and they're always out of work, and they're always in trouble with the police, and they're always this, that, and the other. Got no one good thing to say about their children. And I think to myself, well, why don't just change the words, your conversation, and say, my child is blessed. He knows the divine favour of God. And I'm believing that God's hand is upon him. I believe that God, or her, I believe that God's hand is upon her, leading him to all truth. I believe that God is sending Christians, if they're not a Christian, across their path so that they come to a full knowledge of salvation and what that means. Instead of agreeing with the world that our kids are hopeless and up to no good thing and nothing good will come out of them, let's believe what God says about them, that the fruit of your womb will be blessed. And I want to encourage you to speak God's divine favour over all your children, over your grandchildren, over your great-grandchildren, over everybody in your family. Because they're blessed. And they're not destined to fail. They're not destined to live a life of misery. Let's agree with what God says. And the crops of your land and the young of your livestock and the herds of your lambs of your flocks. Now, I've heard some funny stories this week or read some funny stories about how God blesses the crops of your land. You know, when you should go in and you should pray for your tomatoes in your greenhouse and you should pray for if you've got bugs in your greenhouse or canker on your apple tree, well, you should just pray for it. And that sounds a little bit alien to us because we've grown up in a world of weed killers and pesticides. But you know, not too long ago, that's what the church community used to do. There's a Sunday in the church calendar, in the Church of England calendar, called Rogation Sunday. And that's a day when the church gets together with all the farmers and blesses their crops and the tractors and the agriculture. There's a week in January, I think it's the second week in January, called Plough Sunday, when they pray for the farmers. And then, of course, there's the Harvest Festival, when the farmers come in and thank God that he's heard their prayers and they have had a successful harvest. The point that I'm coming back to saying is that not too long ago, people prayed for their crops and their plants in their fields. And they expected God to answer their prayers because they believed that God blessed their crops. God's divine favour. When they had flies and pesticides, you know, what they did is they prayed. We've got this infestation of beetles, we need to do something about it. And they prayed. Now, what am I doing is really sort of getting us back to a level where really God wants us to recognise that even the simplest things in our lives, God wants to bless. And if we can't pray for the simple things, how is it that we can pray for the big things? Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. When you put a cake in the oven, it will come out grand. Amen. All right. Oh, yes, there you are. Okay. So, the crops of your land will bear harvest. And I went off at a tangent here because I thought to myself, there's more of an application here than just saying to the congregation, go home and play for your greenhouse tomatoes. It's a case of that God blesses your prayers and you see a harvest from your prayers. When you pray a seed, when you plant a seed of prayer, God answers. When you preach the word, God answers. There's a harvest. So here's a scripture for us here. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the Gentiles. So when we plant the word of God into people's lives, when we pray, there is a harvest from our prayers. There's a harvest from the words that we preach. Here Paul is talking about his teaching, having a harvest. So I want to encourage you, you know, that when you pray, when you preach a message, when you share a word of encouragement, the word takes that seed of word of encouragement and he grows it, prospers it, harvests it. Okay. The Lord will grant that your enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. And this is really, again, is to remind us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's the sort of the key scripture that I was sharing with you last week. No weapon formed against us will prosper. When the enemy decides that he's going to gang up against us and come hard against us, he will be confused. He will come at us together in one direction, but will flee in seven. And it reminds me of the story of Gideon. You remember when he came against the Midianites and he went in the middle of the night, and there was all the story from the torches and everything, and he went up to into the Midianite camp. And what did he shout for the Lord and for the Gideon? And everybody was absolutely, all the Midianites were terrified and said, well, what's happening? And they were so confused that they started fighting themselves. And this is what I believe that this scripture is sort of hinting at here. Is that many enemies will come at you, but they will flee in seven. They will be confused. They will just turn upon themselves. They will not be successful. No weapon formed against us will prosper. There will be many people who come against us. People may gang up against us, but the Lord will separate them. And they will flee. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything that you put your hand to. When I start a DIY project, I don't start a DIY project with much confidence. Because what I start it off by saying is that if there's anything to go wrong, it will go wrong. And I don't start it off, I always think that, you know, every spanner, you know, if I want a, you know, I've got dozens of spanners, and I'll say to myself, this, you know, when I get to come in to find a spanner to undo a nut, I always say, I bet about all the spanners that I've got, I haven't got the one that fits. It always takes longer than I anticipated. I think that a DIY job that can take half hour takes me hours sometimes, because it always takes longer than I anticipate. But what does God say? He says that God will bless everything that you put your hand to. And so instead of approaching a DIY job by saying, "Oh Lord, oh no, you don't," This is going to be a disaster. I don't think I've got the right tools. It's going to take longer than I anticipate. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. It's going to end up being more expensive than I think. Why not just start off by saying, Lord, you've promised to help me. You've promised to guide my hands. You'll say that everything that I put my hand to, I will prosper. Lord, help me. Help me. Just make everything go smooth for me this morning. God wants to bless us. He is the. And when you approach an academic piece of work, why do we say, I can't get my head round this, when we say to God, God, give me the wisdom? When we face a challenging situation, do we retreat instead of reminding ourselves, God, help me with this one? He's going to bless what I put my hand to. He is the one who will help you think straight. He is the one who will give you the wisdom when you get stuck. He is the one who will help you finish the job to a good standard. God wants to bless you. You know, everything that you put your hand to, tomorrow, in the office, when you're doing the accountancy, God will bless you and help you do a good job. Whatever you're doing tomorrow, at the ferret, at the cafe or wherever, doing your academic work, God will help you. He will help you do a good job, because his favour is upon you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, and send rain on your land in season, to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend many nations, but will borrow from none. It's interesting, isn't it? Good gracious me, we're far from that at the moment, aren't we? Eh?
Another million we borrow.
Another million. I'm just being very careful what I say here because I don't want to be misconstrued. You know, I don't want to, I'm not condemning anybody that is in debt or anything. I know that it's the way of the world. But I don't believe that God wants us to be continually in debt and in debt and in debt and strangled by debt so that, you know, we can't move. You know, people who get in this debt cycle and really get themselves in a hole with it, you know, I don't believe that God wants that for our lives. You know, one of the things that we do, perhaps when the washing machine goes wrong or something goes wrong in the home and there's not the resources within the household budget to pay for it, we say to ourselves, well, I'll just borrow the money. I'll put it on credit. Pay 30%, whatever it is, credit, interest rate on it. I'll just put it on the card. Whereas I think God's best for us is that we just go to him and say, Lord, washing machine's gone wrong. Can you just either help me find someone who's going to repair it or even provide a replacement for me that's going to stop me from going into debt? I think we need to approach that first. You will lend to many nations but won't borrow from any. You know, in other words, you know, God wants you to have so much, really, that you are the person that's lending, not the one who's borrowing. Now, really, that's another sermon in itself, talking about financial stewardship and what have you, and financial principles that we apply in our lives. But God wants to bless us, not so that we have loads and loads and loads for ourselves, but so that we have money to plant into the ministries, so that we can have money to give away to ministries that are preaching the gospel, so that we can have money to give away to help those that are in need. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. Nearly done. How many people sometimes do you meet who say, how are you? And they say, well, I'm all right under the circumstances. Under the circumstances. And really what they're saying is that their life is being ruled by the circumstances. Their life is being ruled by their health. Their life is being ruled by a certain situation. Being ruled by a troublesome boss. Being ruled by a troublesome neighbour. Being ruled by whatever. They're out of control. And they are not calling the shots. Somebody else is calling the shots. And they're living in fear. They're suffering. Life is not as it should be. But I'm all right under the circumstances. But this scripture says that he wants us to be the head and not the tail. He doesn't want us to be, I've got to get this right, doesn't want the dog, no, the tail to be wagging the dog, but the dog to be wagging the tail. He wants us to be at the front, not the back. He wants to be above and not beneath. And here's the challenging situation for us tonight is that what situation in your life are you allowing to dictate how you live? Sometimes you say, well, I'm just going to have to learn to live with this situation. What does that mean? That you're just giving in and defeating and you're letting the enemy win? You're letting the enemy call the shots? Or are you going to say, well, actually, God's favour is upon my life and he wants to help me to be above the circumstances and not below them? There's a challenge for us as well. So there's the blessings, really. I just want to encourage you with those, that, you know, wherever you are, God wants to bless us. Whatever you do, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your children. He wants to bless your produce. He wants to bless your finances so that you can be a blessing to others. But of course, what I said earlier on is that we have this chunk in Deuteronomy 28, 12 verses, where we've got the blessings, but then from verse 13 to 6 to 8, we've got the whole list of curses. But the curses are reversed because of Jesus. Jesus was cursed on the tree. He broke the power of the curse. And so everything that is mentioned as a curse is reversed and is a blessing to us. So let's just take one of these and we'll conclude with this tonight, because we can't go through all the curses. If you do not carefully follow the words of this law, which are written in this book, and don't revere this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law until they're destroyed. Deary, deary me. If I was an Israelite at that time, I'd be miserable. But we don't have to be miserable, because Christ has reversed the curse. And so what we need to do now is read this in reverse. It says, well, because of Jesus, the Lord will not send fearful plagues on us and our descendants. He won't send harsh and prolonged disasters and severe and lingering illnesses. He will not bring on us all the diseases of Egypt that we dreaded. And they will not cling on to you. The Lord will not bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster recorded in the book of the Lord, because of Jesus. You will know divine health. You will know his favour upon your life. A favour that the enemy can't undo. The favour that God isn't going to change his mind about. The only way that you're going to miss out on it is if you believe what the enemy says and don't believe what God says. Let's pray. I've gone on long enough. Father, we thank you for the blessings of Abraham that are ours in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you that Jesus died on the cross. He was made a curse to break the power of the curse. And Father, I thank you that these curses that are mentioned in Deuteronomy don't come upon us. But all the blessings are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Not because of what we have done or what we can do, but because of what Jesus has already done. And Father, I thank you that we are blessed in the city and we're blessed in the village. And Father, I thank you that in this village we are blessed. It is not a hard place. We know your favour. The people that we will talk to this week are people that you will lead across our path, who are ready and eager to hear the gospel. Ready and eager to hear the good news. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, that this is an easy village. Bless your holy name. And Father, we pray for our children, the fruit of our womb. Father, I thank you, your blessing is upon them. And Father, we thank you that the situation, whatever their situation is tonight, is not a hopeless one. Father, I thank you that their situation is not one that is doomed to fail. But Father, your divine favour is upon them. And Father, we pray for those who are believers. And pray, Lord Jesus, that they would understand that you love them and that you care for them and that you want them to live in victory, and help them to understand that. For the people, our children who are unbelievers, Lord, we pray that your favour will be upon them. We agree that your favour is upon them and that you would send people across their paths who would tell them the truth about who Jesus is. Friends that will become their friends, who will be Christians and show them the love of Christ. Friends who would show them that there is more to life than there already is. Father, we agree in Jesus' name that this is going to happen because your favour is upon them. Their situation is not hopeless. Their situation is not one that is doomed to fail. But Father, I thank you that you love them and that you care for them. Father, I thank you that you bless our crops. You bless the seeds that we plant, the seeds of prayer that we plant. And Father, I thank you that you have heard our prayers and that our prayers will reap a harvest. Father, I thank you for the words that we have sown into people's lives. Those words of encouragement, those words that have told people about you. Father, I thank you that like Paul's teaching, they will reap a harvest because your blessing is upon them. Father, we thank you that your blessing is upon our finances. We, Lord, pray, Lord Jesus, that, Father, that indeed, as your word says, that you would meet every need. And, Father, we agree, Lord Jesus, that we will become people who will be lenders, who will be people who will bless other people through that which you've given us. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you grant success to everything that we lay our hands to. And Lord, Father, tomorrow as we go about our daily duties, may we not go with an attitude of this is not going to be very good. But Father, we pray that we would go with an attitude that you're going to bless us and you're going to help us. Help us with our studies. Help us to think clearly. Where we come across a situation where we're confused and don't know where to go, let us not hold up our hands in despair and hopelessness, but Father, may we look to you and say to you, Lord, you want to bless what I'm doing. I can do all things through you who strengthens me. Father, I thank you that none of the curses come upon us because we are indeed blessed. Father, thank you that we can walk in divine health because of your blessing, because of Jesus. Amen.